Wintertime is savage. Wintertime is very brutal in America. They will kill you in America. America loves, remember, America loves violence.
Stop being stupid, leaders. Why? Because you're wasting my time.
America loves resorting to force. Because they've always said, one day a bigger dog comes along.
You must be insane. Get real. They need to hear the truth so that they can get ready for the future.
It's going to be a great future. It is. It's going to be a humane future.
Let's come in here, and I'll show you how you survive in Detroit.
He didn't get paid. See, black people don't get paid for what they do.
See, what I'm doing is I'm playing the role of dumb black boy.
I never had an advantage. No, I know. That's why I can tell you, you're my sisters. Because we share something in common.
See, Emmett Till whistled. He was from the North. And he had relatives in the South. And this was in 1950-something. And they sent him down South. And he went to the store, and the white lady was in the store, and he whistled at her because she was very attractive. Well, that night they killed him. And they threw him in a river. Yeah, Emmett Till was killed. This was in the 1950s. He was 12 years old. He was 12 years. They threw him in a river. And then when they pulled him out of the river, his head had swollen up this big. And his mother put him in the casket and opened the casket and left it like that. And that shocked America. But then you say, well, half the people that they killed down there, they killed them because of a white woman. And so black boys have always been taught, be careful of white women. Mm. You know, be very careful of them. But it's the fear. And you know, it's traditional. You know the issue. I mean, you know, and I'm telling you something that black men talk about amongst black men. You got to remember, Detroit is surrounded with police forces that don't like black people. It just is. They do not like black people. It's surrounded. Now, the final thing about Detroit is this. My daughters, they live in Virginia. And I tell them, Daddy, you should move to Virginia. Why would I move to Virginia? Well, you can come down and be with us. Virginia is far away from Canada. If trouble breaks out in America, and I know these people will shoot 1,000 people in America. They will. They'll go out one night and say, let's just kill up 1,000 people. They'll do that. Guess what? I can get to Canada. Yeah. Because I can get to Canada in 15 minutes. Okay. In 15 minutes, I can be out of the country. Because you're walking around in situations that can be hostile, even though all of them are not like that. But it can happen. You have to be smart enough to say, you know what? I think I better get out of here. Well, it's time to go. Let's go. And then you get out of there. And you get out. And that's it. And see, that's happened to every black man in America has that as an experience. Every one of them has it. And if he doesn't have it, you got to be kidding, man. That never happened to you. That never happened to you. Okay, well, it's going to happen. One time it's going to happen. But remember, you have to learn how to be deceptive.
Parce que la techno, c'est, je pense, le seul milieu musical aujourd'hui à se faire autant de thunes en dehors des majors. Ils se font toute la thune, tout leur système, que ce soit Ron Atkins, Derek, ils ont tous des labels indépendants. Ils font ce qu'ils veulent. Il n'y a aucun argent qui remonte, etc. Ils n'ont aucune règle qu'on leur impose. On ne leur dit pas, ton son, il doit faire 3 minutes. Ils font ce qu'ils veulent, comme ils veulent, etc. Et en fait, ça, c'est peut-être la plus grande des résistances possibles. Parce qu'ici, on parle beaucoup, les gens parlent beaucoup de une des manières de pour que la communauté noire américaine s'émancipe, c'est de ne pas dépendre financièrement, dans la plupart des cas, des blancs et de la société blanche américaine. Et du coup, c'est vrai que ma vision de la techno aussi a changé. Mais justement, je pense que c'est ça, c'est que la résistance, elle est multiple, elle est différente, elle est dans leur vie, dans la manière juste dont ils vivent leur vie. Il y avait un monsieur qui avait des commerces, 2-3 commerces, exactement là où il voulait construire le truc. Ils lui ont dit, on veut l'acheter, etc. Il a dit, non, c'est mort. Une semaine après, il a été retrouvé mort. Sauf qu'il avait filé tous ses types de propriétés à sa nana. Une semaine après, sa nana a été retrouvée morte. Inutile de dire qu'ils étaient noirs. Donc, la violence du racisme dans cette ville et de la manière dont la communauté s'est développée, elle est intrinsèque à l'histoire de Détroit et je pense même à l'histoire de l'histoire économique parce que elle serait pas redescendue aussi bas si ça avait pas été une ville à majorité noire américaine, c'est sûr et certain, c'est sûr et certain. Tu vois ce que je veux dire, c'est on va raser un quartier noir pour faire du urban renewal, ce qu'ici ils appellent negro removal, parce que c'est basiquement, c'est pas à Détroit que ça s'est passé, quand tu regardes les villes américaines, il y a énormément de projets qui ont décidé d'être faits pile à des quartiers où il y avait beaucoup de noirs américains.
So there's a resistance to this attitude that getting richer makes you better. Yeah. But there's a whole different way of thinking in Detroit, and then we cannot also underestimate the importance of being on an international border, and being able to basically live on both sides of the street. Then you have to become your own government.